Index number 8. Saparyana Shukrama Akayam Abranam Anasviram Shuddham Apapavittham Kavir Manishi Paribhu Swayambhur यथा तथ्यो अर्थान व्यदधा शश्वतीभ्य समाप्या. इट्स वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू बाय हार्ट दिस वर्ड्स बट हैज अ ग्रेट मीनिंग. ट्रांसलेशन. सच अ पर्सन मस्ट फैक्चुअली नो द ग्रेटेस्ट ऑफ ऑल. द पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ अ गॉडहेड हु इज अनएम्बॉडीड ओमनीसाइंट beyond reproach, without wings, pure and uncontaminated, the self-sufficient philosopher who has been fulfilling everyone's desire since time immemorial. Now who Lord is, that has explained to you. Who is he? The greatest of all. Okay. Second thing, he is unembodied, and unembodied means
doesn't have a human body.
Who is not shackled or bound in particular body. That is embodied. Then he is omniscient. What it means?
Present everywhere. Is it same as omnipresent?
No, he sees everything.
What it means, omniscient.
He sees it.
Omni is more, many.
Different is with the or with the lost out. Sight.
Sight
and
sight.
Who knows everything? Kavi. Here it is that. Kavir Manishinaha.
Proficient.
Science.
Proficient.
Omni science.
Science.
He is omniscient, who knows everything. Omniscient, omnipresent and omnipotent. Omnipresent means who is present everywhere. Omnipotent means who has all the potences. And omniscience means who knows everything. That is the quality of Lord. Sarvajna, Kavi. Then beyond reproach. Without wings, who is pure and uncontaminated. Ashuddham apapavittham. Who would like to read? Read aloud.
There is a description of the transcendental and eternal form of the absolute personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is not formless. He has his own transcendental form, which is not at all similar to the forms of the mundane world. The forms of the living entities in this world are embodied in material nature and they work like any material machine. The anatomy of a material body must have a mechanical construction with veins and so forth. But the transcendental body of the Supreme Lord has nothing like wings. It is clearly stated here that he is unembodied, which means that there is no difference between his body and his soul. Nor is he forced to accept a body according to the laws of nature as we are. In materially conditioned life, the soul is different from the gross embodiment and subtle mind. For the Supreme Lord, however, there is never any such difference between him and his body and mind. He is a complete whole, and his mind, body, and he himself are all one and the same.
Any question?
What is that reproach means?
Reproach?
No reproach.
as here it is said in this particular verse. Paribhuhu. Paribhuhu means the greatest of all. Generally, you can subdue someone. The literally meaning of reproach is what?
Sort of putting blame.
That's why I have confused. Like in English meaning, it says in Google is expression of disapproval or disappointment. Maybe that Sanskrit word might be better.
Kavir Manishi Paribhu Swayambhu.
He cannot disappoint.
He's beyond all that. That's what he's saying. He's beyond all these.
He's greatest of all, actually. Means no one can approach him for disappointment. Or something which becomes unapproachable for you. Because you wanted to get rid of something, then what you try to do? You try to approach someone who can help you to get out of that. So Lord is reapproachable for that. You can go and approach him at any time, at any point. He will not disappoint you for that. He will help you out.
But it is beyond the reproach.
Yeah, so.
Beyond the disappointment. That means he will not disappoint you. The thing which beyond the disappointment means, which is going to satisfy you.
You can't completely disappoint him. You can't completely disappoint him.
In that way also you can disappoint. He never gets disappointed with you. That's why he makes all the facilities so that you can approach him.
He's not happy, but he's not unhappy also. He's not happy until you really, he sees that you are surrendering. But he's never unhappy because you are not surrendering.
He's not disappointed with you. Okay, kya nahi hai na, theek hai, consider.
Like father and son relationship.
Great experience. Okay, next. See, this purport is clear about what has mentioned here. What is the main point that has made in this particular purport?
He is complete. Oh. Doesn't take any form.
Thing is that he is beyond the laws of material nature. That's why he is not embodied. Got it? Because it is his material energy, so he can't get covered with that. He created that and he is beyond that creation. Because he was existing before that was created. So how he can get covered with that? Is that clear? Because this is what creates difference between the devotee and Mayavadi. Mayavadi people, they think that Lord comes in contact with the material nature and he takes form. He is a formless, but when he comes in contact with the material nature, he takes a form. And that's why he has different avatars and incarnation. Is that clear?
That is my avatar.
Impersonalist. Next.
In Brahma Samhita, there is similar description of the Supreme Lord. He is described there as Sachit Ananda Vigraha, which means that he is the eternal form fully representing transcendental existence, knowledge and bliss. The Vedic.
Okay. Remember this shloka. It's very important. Ishwaraha Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindaha Sarva Karana Karana. It gives the whole philosophy of Gaudiya Siddhanta. Who is Krishna? Why he is supreme? And how he is the cause of all causes? Everything is explained in this one verse.
This is the same verse in Brahma Samhita 5.1, is it?
Yes. That's the verse 5.1. Remember this verse by heart. That's the greatest prayer offered by Brahma. The first words of his prayer. Ishvaraha means controller. Parama means topmost. Krishna. The topmost controller is, was and will be Krishna. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Why? Because Sat is eternal, Chit full of knowledge, Ananda Vigraha means who does not have material body. There is no difference between his mind, his body and he. That is Ananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir. He is the source of everything, but he does not have any source. Anadir Adir Govindaha. He is Govinda. Govinda. Go means planet Earth. Go means cow. And go means senses. And Vinda means who gives pleasure. So he is Govinda. And Sarva Karana Karanam. Cause of all causes. That's the characteristics, qualities of Krishna. Is
Sat,
that clear?
Sat-chit is what?
Sat is eternal, Chit is full of knowledge, and Ananda Vigraha, full of bliss. Okay, you can continue.
The Vedic literatures clearly state that he has a completely different kind of body. Thus, he is sometimes described as formless. This formless means that he has no form like ours and that he is devoid of a form which we can perceive. In Brahma Samhita, it is further stated that the Lord can do anything and everything with any one of the parts of his body. It is said there that with each and every one of the parts of his body, he can do work of the other senses. This means that the Lord can walk with his hands, accept things with his legs, see with his hands and feet, eat with his eyes, etc. In the Sruti mantras, it is also said that although the Lord has no hands and legs like us, he has a different type of hands and legs by which he can accept all that we offer him and run faster than anyone. These points are confirmed in this 8th mantra through the use of words like Supram, Omnipotent.
Any doubt?
What do you mean by he has different type of hands and legs?
Who would like to answer this?
So that he can accept all the offers to the properties. Whatever he gives, he can able to take and
receive. He doesn't have a material body like us. He doesn't need to smell with his nose. He doesn't. He can.
But different types of hands and legs, is it attributed to like more than like two hands that humans have? Is it?
See. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashanti panti kalayanti chiram jananti ananda simme saduchvala vigrahasya govinda vali purusham tamam. Ramaji says, I worship that primeval lord who is known as a Govinda, who can perform any function of his any bodily part with a different. He can eat through eyes, he can walk through ears, he can smell through tongue. His all senses are potent to perform any sort of activity, which is inconceivable for us to understand because we are having a material body. And our senses, they have only one function and they do only that. But Lord's body is transcendental and he can do anything with his body. And just by in exhaling, he creates the universes. Can we do that?
I got it now.
Got it?
Yeah, basically it's referring to the function of hand and leg, saying, you know, he has different types, which is like...
Like he says, Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasra Aksha Sahasra Paath. What is that Sahasra Shirsha Purusha? Who is having thousands of heads? What it means? Literally, he is having a thousands of heads. Sahasraksha, he is having thousands of eyes. Literally, it means that he is having thousands of eyes. Yes, he has. Yachakshuresha savita sakal grahanam. Amongst the all planets, he has sun and moon as his eyes. And in the galaxies, there are millions of suns and moons. So how many eyes he has?
Uncounted.
In that way, you can understand. Yeah. Anything else? So now, one more book has added, Brahma Samhita. Now, Prabhupada is quoting much from Brahma Samhita in this purport. Okay? Next.
The Lord's worshipable form, Archa Vigraha, which is installed in temples by authorized acharyas who have realized the Lord in terms of mantra seven, is not different from the original form of the Lord. The Lord's original form is that of Sri Krishna, and Sri Krishna expands himself into an unlimited number of forms such as Baldev, Ram, Narasimha and Balaram. All of these forms are one and the same personality of Godhead. Similarly, the Archa Vigraha worshipped in temples is also an expanded form of the Lord. By worshipping the Archa Vigraha, one can at once approach the Lord who accepts the service of the devotee by his omnipotent energy. The Archa Vigraha of the Lord descends at the request of the acharyas, the holy teachers, and works exactly in the original way of the Lord by virtue of the Lord's omnipotence. Foolish people who have no knowledge of Sri Isopanishad or any other Shruti Mantra consider the Archa Vigraha, which is worshipped by pure devotees, to be made of material elements. This form may be seen as material by the imperfect eyes of foolish people or Kanishka Adhikari, but such people do not know the Lord. Do not know that the Lord, being omnipotent and omniscient, can transform matter into spirit and spirit into matter as he desires.
So what is the essence of this para?
There is no difference between Lord and the Acharya.
An example? Udaharan.
They are actually coming down at the time of service. They are actually giving us the mercy of accepting the prasadam and we are eating that.
Oh, you're sure for that?
We have to be sure, otherwise we don't have faith.
See, mailbox is the proper example for us.
Talking about that,
yeah. If government authorized mailbox is there in front of your door, whatever you put it, it assured that it will go to destination. So same way, when any deity or any material element in which a pure devotee invokes their lordship to accept services, and Lord being omniscient and omnipotent, he accepts that desire of pure devotee and he reciprocates through that particular deity. The most worshipable form, which is known as a Archa Vigraha, with whom you can reciprocate. But if some fraud person, if he thinks himself as a pure devotee and he creates some of, or he start worshipping something and call it as a Lord, do you think that that will also work as a Archa Vigraha? The main catalyst, that is pure devotee. If that pure devotee invokes Lord in that particular form, then Lord reciprocates. Even though he is omniscient, omnipotent, he will not reciprocate with you. Until and unless his pure devotee asks him. That is the most important point as made in this purport. The relation between the Lord and his devotee. Pure devotee. Otherwise, we have so many murtis around. But are they worshipable? Unless and until Lord is invoked by the pure devotee, Lord never comes and reciprocates. Lord was there everywhere. But when Prahlad said, yes, he is here, he came out of that. Got it? Huh? See, you have to be very careful, because kids, they are going to ask you this question. At home they will ask, why not this one is God? Why you have kept it in the showroom and this is on the altar? They will ask you. What you will answer them then?
The condition is that it has to be invoked by pure devotee.
Then only Lord comes, na?
So the question is, what if it is not invoked properly, but you still have the true devotee serving him?
If true devotee is serving him, Lord will come. No? Purity is the essence.
So even a stone, if I make it as like a pray, someone prays as a God, so he has to come if it is true devotee. I mean, the invocation means, does it need to be that erotical way?
That done by the pure devotee. If pure devotee prays Lord, then Lord manifests from that.
But it's both, right? Even if you say Lord is there in the temple, but if you don't be pure, then
it
doesn't help you. Like, one way to
look at reciprocally respondent.
Even though if you are invoked properly, but if your prayers are pure, then you may also bless.
See, when you come in front of the Archa Vigra, your sins are gone. You believe it or not, when you go in front of the Lord, that's the potency of Archa Vigra. Just by their glance, you become purified. Then you go out and do all other sins. That is totally different. But when you come in front of the Lord, your sins are washed away.
Every day then, when they offer and then have prasadam, say in some homes and all, is he not accepting it then?
What?
Every day, like regular devotees are cooking and offering. So he's not accepting.
See, if you are taking the photograph of Radha Madhavari, he is there in that form. If you are offering it to him, he will take it.
But I think you are talking about the duties which people have home, but they do the Pranapadishthan, right? And then he's been invited there.
See, as per the Agamas and Pancharatra, wherever you want to worship the duties, they should be installed properly.
Yeah.
Then only Lord, otherwise they are just murtis, not Archa Vigras.
They're part and parcel, but you need the catalyst
for
pure devotee.
Like this switch has electricity. There is a bulb. But if it is not connected, you may do up and down so many times. Is it going to get lightened?
So it has to be connected to SME.
So that connection is pure devotee. Got it? Okay, next.
In the Bhagavad Gita, 9.11.
Page 58,
second paragraph.
In the Bhagavad Gita, 9.11-12.
9th chapter, 11th verse, and 12. That not dot, that okay. Is chapter.
Okay, 9th chapter, 11th verse and 12th verse. The Lord visits the fallen condition of man with little knowledge, who deride him because he descends like a man into this world. Such poorly informed persons do not know the omnipotence of the Lord. Thus the Lord does not manifest himself in a full to the mental speculators. He can be appreciated only in proportion to one's surrender to him. The fallen condition of the living entities is due to entirely to forgetfulness of their relationship with God. Can I continue?
So what this paragraph mean? What is the text 11 and 10, 12?
It's
अवजानन्ति मां मूढ़ मानुषीं तनुमाश्रितः परमं भाव अजानन्तो व्हाट्स नेक्स्ट
मां भूतं महेश्वर
मोघाशा मोघकर्माणो मोघज्ञाना विचेतसा राक्षसीम आसुरीम चैव मोहिनीम आश्रितः
प्रकृति
मोहिनी आश्रितः इट एक्सप्लेन्स अबाउट द पीपल हु नेवर अंडरस्टैंड दैट व्हेन लॉर्ड कम्स इन द फॉर्म एज लाइक अ ह्यूमन बीइंग ही इज नॉट लाइक अस ही इज नॉट अ ऑर्डिनरी पर्सन They try to compare his activity with our activities. And they lose the essence of Lord's appearance. So, then mogasha, moga karmano, moga jnana, vichetasa. Then whatever knowledge they may have acquired, that becomes a futile or useless.
Talking about
when Lord descends in a human form, then people don't recognize him and try to compare themselves with him.
Next.
In this mantra, as well as in many other Vedic mantras, it is clearly stated that Lord has been supplying goods to the living entities from time immemorial. A living being desires something and the Lord supplies the object of that desire in proportion to one's qualification. If a man wants to be a high court judge, he must acquire not only the necessary qualification but also the consent of the authority who can award the title of high court judge. The qualification in themselves insufficient for one to occupy the post. It must be awarded by some superior authority. Similarly, the Lord awards enjoyment to living entities in proportion to their qualifications, but good qualifications in themselves are not sufficient to enable one to receive awards. The mercy of the Lord is also required.
So, what is the gist of this purport?
The same as Arjuna, qualification to achieve. And it should be awarded by, I would say, the authority.
No qualification is big unless Lord's mercy is involved.
Right. This is like a one sentence gist for this.
Repeat for one more time.
I don't know what I said.
No qualification is big without God's mercy.
You may be a qualified person, but if there is no Lord's mercy, then you are not going to get any achievement in your life. Like you may be a qualified lawyer, that does not make you a high court judge. That should be given by some authority. Then only you can become that. So the last line of this para, what is that?
Mercy of God is required. Is also required.
What is required to make a progress in our spiritual life? Your endeavor may be there. You may be chanting 160 rounds. Maybe 192 rounds.
The mercy of the Lord.
But the Lord's mercy is not there. It will not work. And the Lord's mercy form is His devotees. Krishna Kripa Shri Murti. Means what? Whose title is this? How many of you really pay attention when we chant the Prem Dhvani? What is Prema Dhvani now?
In the beginning of this.
After Aarti, when you offer pranams, that time the leader who is leading Kirtan, he chants particular things, that is called as a Prema Dhvani. And what they say during that time? 6-7 saal aa rahe ho bhai, kabhi to suna hoga. Never paid attention.
So usually you take the name, this is his dham, God's name, his devotees, and
what title we give to them, that personalities? What is mean by his divine grace? Krishna Kripa Shri Murti.
Okay, his divine grace.
He is the personification of Lord's mercy. That is Sri Krishna Kripa Shri Murti. Abhaya Charna Arvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
He is this Krishna.
Yes, his divine grace. This person is that person's divine grace. He is the mercy of that person. Got it?
Today I got it.
So pay attention when you do something, when you hear something in a temple, because each and every word has its own meaning. Now you have understood this. So whenever you come in front of the Prabhupada, what you will remember?
He is the divine grace of Krishna.
That means this person through which I am going to get the mercy of Lord.
I was referring to other way. His divine grace means his divine grace to us. That's what I was referring.
His divine grace.
Yeah.
Who is that his?
Krishna.
Next.
You?
Yeah.
See it last night.
Ordinarily, the living being does not know what to ask from the Lord, nor which post to seek. When the living being comes to know his constitutional position, however, he asks to be accepted into the transcendental association of the Lord in order to render transcendental loving service unto him. Unfortunately, living beings under the influence of material nature ask for many other things, and they are described in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 verse 41 as having...
No. Wait. Find out the verse. 241. व्यवसायात्मका बुद्धिर एकेह कुरुनंदन बहुशाखा यनंताश्च बुद्धयो अव्यवसायात्मिकः. What is the translation?
Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. O beloved child of Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is in any branch.
Read it again, aloud, clear. That is what? The real meaning. That's what, why Prabhupada has quoted this verse here. Read it.
Who are on this path are resolute.
No, the last line.
O beloved child of Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branch.
Yeah. Who are irresolute in many branch. Means what? They are seeking for something else than the devotional service. Irresolute. What is that resolution means?
Yeah,
how many of you have adjusted camera lens? Hmm. What do you do? You set the resolution of the picture. Huh?
Clarity and
pain. So the person who does not have clarity of their intelligence, how to use it? They don't know how, what to ask from the Lord. To explain that, this has quoted here. Are you able to understood this? Because what happens, you know, when you speak something, then what you have to quote for? That you should remember. Oh, what I can give as example for this? That you can learn it from reading like this. Okay?
As described in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 verse 41 as having divided or splayed intelligence. Spiritual intelligence is one, but mundane intelligence is diverse. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.1 and then 30 and 31st verses, 7th canto, 5th chapter.
Yeah.
It is stated that those who are captivated by the temporary beauties of the external energy forget the real aim of life, which is to go back to God. Forgetting this, one tries to adjust things by various plans and programs. This is
okay.
Chewing.
These verses are from 7th canto, 5th chapter, where Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, is explaining to his own father. He says, Matirna Krishne Parato Satova Mithopi Vadyet Grahavratana अदांत गोभीर विषतांत मिश्रम पुनः पुनश्चर्वित चर्वनाना. प्रहलाद महाराज रिप्लाइड, बिकॉज ऑफ देयर अनकंट्रोल्ड सेंसेस पर्सन्स टू एडिक्टेड टू मटेरियलिस्टिक लाइफ मेक प्रोग्रेस टुवर्ड्स हेलिश कंडीशंस एंड रिपीटेडली च्यू दैट विच हैज ऑलरेडी बीन च्यूड. देयर इंक्लिनेशंस टुवर्ड कृष्णा आर नेवर aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. What you understood from this verse? If you does not have resolute intelligence, if your intelligence is not focused on Krishna, then you may work hard. Or anyone may give you instruction, or may the both things are there, you are not going to attain Krishna. That means what is needed? Resolute intelligence. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Great.
But this is like chewing what has already been chewed.
Yes.
Nonetheless, the Lord is so kind that He allows the
Purasharivita Charvanana. It's easy to remember. What is that? Chewing the chewed. Purasharivita Charvanana.
Nonetheless, the Lord is so kind that He allows the forgetful living entity to continue in this way without interference. Thus, this mantra of Sri Ishopanishad uses a very appropriate word, yathathayatha, indicating that
yathatathyataha.
Indicating that the Lord rewards the living entities just in pursuance of their desires. If a living being wants to go to hell, the Lord allows him to do so without interference. And if he wants to go back home, back to Godhead, the Lord helps him.
This is the crucial point.
You choose.
Choices?
Us,
yours.
You have to want
material, heaven or hell? No, you want heaven. You want hell or heaven?
You decide where you want to go.
Who will ask for
see, the whole Vedic literature is like that. It gives you what you want. I heard it somewhere. I don't know where exactly it quoted, but some devotee was explaining. When Brahmaji first heard the Vedas, he understood in the Karmakanda point of view. So the goal of Vedas is to perform Karmakanda. Second time when he heard it, he understood through Gyanakanda, through knowledge. And third time he understood through the devotion. So how it happened? It depends upon your approach. In what way you want to approach Vedas, that way they give you. Because Vedic literature is like a Nigama Kalpa Tarovar. It's a Kalpa Taru. Kalpa Taru means a desire tree. Whatever you desire, it gives you. Generally people, they come and ask you, what I can get? Then Vedas, they ask you, what do you want? Sometimes people, they ask, where this path go? The intelligent person asks him, where do you want to go? Generally people, they ask now, oh, where that road goes? What the hell you have to do with that? Where you want to go? That, according to that, I will tell you where you have to go then.
We'll get a wrong road.
So you should ask that, I wanted to go, does this road go to that way? That's the proper inquiry. But we don't know how to inquire even. That's what it, people, they go to the Lord, but they don't know what to ask from Him, what to seek from Him. They come to temple and ask for what? Let me have a good job. Let my kids be proper. This is what you are going to ask the Lord.
That is inbuilt. If you ask the Lord for His mercy, those will be inbuilt.
Then everything will be taken care of. No? But our buddhi is not a vyavasayatmika. It's not resolute intelligence. It is diverted here and there. That's why we don't understand what should be asked from the Lord. Is that clear? Should we go ahead? Please.
God is described here as Paribhut. The great.
Remember this Sanskrit terminology.
Paribhut.
Yatha Tathya. He gives what you desire. Don't cry in front of the Lord, oh, I am asking for this, I am getting this. You ask somewhere, somewhere, sometime, and you forgot that. Now He is giving you. Because time is favorable for this to get it. Okay, you can continue.
The greatest of all, no one is greater than or equal to Him. Other living beings are described here as beggars who ask goods from the Lord. The Lord supplies all the things desired by the living entities. If the entities were equal to the Lord in potency, or if they were omnipotent or omniscient, there would be no question of their begging from the Lord, even for so-called liberation. Real liberation means going back to Godhead. Liberation as conceived by an impersonalist is a myth, and begging for sense gratification has to continue eternally unless the beggar comes to his spiritual senses and realizes his constitutional position. Only the Supreme Lord is self-sufficient. When Lord Krishna appeared on earth 5,000 years ago, He displayed His full manifestation as the personality of Godhead through His various activities. In His childhood, He killed many powerful demons, and there was no question of His having acquired such power through any extraneous endeavor. He lifted Govardhana Hill without even practicing weightlifting. He danced with the gopis without social restriction and without reproach. Although the gopis approached Him with feelings of amorous love, the relationship between gopis and Lord Krishna has been worshipped even by Lord Chaitanya, who was a strict sannyasi and rigid follower of disciplinary regulation. Sri Vishnupashar also described the Lord as Suddham
Apapavit.
Apapavitam, profilactic. Are pure and uncontaminated. He is antiseptic in the sense that even the impure thing can become purified just by touching it. The word prophylactic refers to the power of his association. He has mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter 30 to 31, a devotee may appear to be not well behaved in the beginning, but he should be accepted as pure because he is on the right path. This is due to the prophylactic nature of the Lord Krishna. He is also apapa vidham because sin cannot touch him. Even if he acts in a way which appears to be sinful, such actions are all good. For there is no question of his being affected by sin because In all circumstances, he is Shuddha, most purified. He is often compared to the sun. The sun exacts moisture from many untouchable places on the earth, yet it remains pure. In fact, it purifies obnoxious things by virtue of its sterilizing powers. If the sun, which is a material object, is so powerful, then we can hardly begin to imagine the purity and strength of all of the all-powerful Lord.
Paribhu, the word Paribhu, to explain that Prabhupada has wrote these two paragraphs. Paribhu means greatest of all. Why is greatest of all? Because he is Shuddham Apapaviddham. Shuddham means antiseptic. Why we take antiseptic? Antiseptic. Septic means?
Poisoning.
So things which are impure get purified by?
Just his touch.
Touch. Apapaviddham. And he never gets affected with that impurities. The word what they have used here?
Prophylactic.
Prophylactic is the medicinal course given for preventing disease. So the association of Lord prevents you from your disease condition of mind. So that is why he is Shuddha Apapavita. And then the material example has given. As sun rays, if they falls on someone has urinated and that the sun rays falls on that, what it does? It sterilizes that and purifies. But does sun gets contaminated because of that? His contact with the urine? No. If it is with the material object like a sun, then what to speak of with the Lord?
Well, many, many.
Who is greatest among all? Even yasya smarana matrena uchyante sarva kilbishaihi. Even you remember his name, you get freed from all the kilbishas and kalmashas from your life. That's why Lord is paribhuhu, he is greatest of all.
And they also talk about a devotee may appear to be Sudarkara, not well behaved in the beginning, but Sudarchara.
Sudurachara.
Sudurachara. But this should be accepted as pure because he is on the right path.
Yes. That is 9 point?
13.
What is that verse?
Api chet
sudurachara. Api chetasi aduracharam. Bhajate maam ananya bhaag sadurevahi samantavya samyat vyavasitohi saha. Why he has to be considered as a sadhu? Because samyat vyavasitohi saha. Because he is situated in the service of the Lord. That's why. Got it? Even durachar person also becomes worshipable because he is situated in the service of the Lord. Then what to speak of the Lord? That's why he is greatest among all. So this verse is clear? Huh?
Yeah.
Should we go for the next? Or do you want some time?
Another verse.